Toastmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, along with Ed Alexander in the control room. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's off celebrating his lovely wife's birthday on the West Coast. Today is Friday, October 17th, 2014, and we are headed toward the weekend. Can't wait. Bill is here live each weekday from roughly noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030 The Voice. You can get podcasts of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com. And let's not forget Facebook. Just type in his name and you got him. A quick mention of Bill's media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Lifestyle, and the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, all of whom have links to the Buckmaster Show on their home pages. It's time now for our Friday Focus interview. Today, we are with Patty O'Berry, Executive Director of Hands of a Friend, which she'll be telling us a little bit about in a minute. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thank you so much for having me here.
Great to have you here. And if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you are welcome to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Patty O'Berry, I want you to tell us a little bit about your work down in Green Valley and Sahuarita.
Well, I'd be more than happy to, Dan. We started the foundation Hands of a Friend in 2005 to serve a very vital need in the southern Arizona area from Tucson to Nogales, Arizona, and that is domestic violence as well as sexual assault and human trafficking victims, although the sexual assault and human trafficking victims came about 2 years later as we were noting those domestic violence victims coming to shelter. Some of them had dual issues relating to sexual assault or human trafficking. So we opened and expanded the shelter in 2008. And as of this date, we have hit the 50,000-plus mark for how many bed nights we've provided to domestic violence victims.
And how many beds are at the shelter?
We started out with 10, and we could effectively handle 30.
Okay, and that's incredible. Give us some stats. How bad is domestic violence?
Well, 85% of domestic violence victims are women. And 1.3 million women are victims of domestic violence nationally each year. About every 9 seconds in the United States alone, a woman is beaten. And the average domestic violence victim is going to leave 7 times before they actually leave for good.
Wow.
In my own history of domestic violence, leaving 7 times can be maybe the first time you left, you made it as far as from your house to the 7-Eleven. But for a woman escaping domestic violence, even fleeing 2 blocks can put her in great jeopardy. So it's not unusual, 7 times before escaping for good. Between 30 and 60% of the perpetrators in an intimate partner relationship perpetrating domestic violence are also going to abuse their children. And boys who witness domestic violence are twice as likely to abuse their partners and children when they become adults. There's about 15.5 million children where domestic violence has occurred at least once in the last year in the home. And about 7 million of those families live where the domestic violence is severe.
Okay, that's an awful lot of numbers. I want to go back to one of them that you
Sure.
brought up. I guess I'm a little surprised to learn that 15% of domestic violence victims are men. You're going to need to define for us domestic violence. What constitutes abuse?
Domestic violence can be physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, economic abuse, verbal, isolation. And we've just started to look at gender dominant privilege.
Okay, explain that.
Gender dominant privilege could be he's the man of the house, he's making all of the money, and when she needs something, he will threaten her with the monetary issue. I make all the money, I'm the man of the house, and use it to the point where it's quite verbally and emotionally abusive.
And then you talk about how it takes the average domestic violence victim 7 times before they actually will break free. And I have to think back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe it was much more difficult to leave because there weren't as many resources. But that isn't really what's preventing them from leaving, is it?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why she stays. Okay. Is that what you're getting
at?
Yeah,
and that's really the obvious question. It's the uncomfortable question because for those of us who are in, let's just call them typical or normal relationships, can't fathom that you would not want to flee from an abusive situation. Why do they stay?
And when I'm speaking in the community and Southern Arizona, that's one of the first questions
sure.
I hear. As hard as this is going to be for the listening audience to absorb, many of them still love the batter. That's lower on the totem pole to some of the other reasons why they stay. They fear the batter. They're terrified to leave. In many instances, it's religious and cultural beliefs.
Mm. Interesting.
A lot of them stay for the children. Some don't trust law enforcement or the court system if they were to leave. They've had a bad experience when they called 911 previously, maybe, for a domestic violence call to the house. And so they're afraid to prevail upon law enforcement or the court system. A lot of them are afraid of Child Protective Services. They fear that if they report that they are a domestic violence victim, their children will be taken from them. And you know, in a lot of states now, we deal with an issue with Child Protective Services called failure to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So if a mother knowingly stays in a home where domestic violence is occurring and the children witness domestic violence, and anything were to happen down the line where one of those children, where he now turns on one of the children and they're injured, the mother could be arrested for failure to protect. Not only could be, in the state of Arizona has been many times.
Okay, and if you've just joined us, you are listening to The Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, filling in for Bill. We are talking to Patty O'Berry, who's the executive director of Hands of a Friend. We're talking about an uncomfortable topic, domestic violence. And to go along with your reasons of not leaving a domestic violence situation, Patty, I guess a lot of these people have got to be hoping against hope that it's going to end.
Well, they do hope it's going to end one way or another. He'll get tired of pushing them around, abusing them, and just leave them. Or, God forbid, worst case scenario happens. She dies, he dies, and that's the way it ends.
But generally speaking, though, the abuse doesn't end. And really, no. A woman needs to get out.
Yes, they do, as quickly as possible. But not all women have available the resources they need to leave. You know, in my own case, I had three small children. Where was I going to go? I wasn't working at the time. He was the predominant breadwinner. It's very difficult to figure. I didn't have a car. We were a one-car family. There were no domestic violence shelters available when I left.
But were you willing to share your story with people who were closest to you, and were they not willing to help out?
No, they were not, because he presented so well in public that. But behind closed doors, he was a totally different human being.
So did these people think you were lying?
It wasn't that they thought I was lying. It was that they saw the outside of the house package and thought, well, whatever was going on inside the house, what was going on outside of the house should be worth me staying and suffering the consequences. That was kind of the attitude I felt.
And we also have a situation where some women actually do believe they deserve the abuse.
Yes. That was one of the next things I was going to share with you.
And how can you get to that point as a woman to think that you or anybody deserves that?
It's a very slow, subtle process of brainwashing that takes place. He may constantly tell her, well, if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have to hit you. If you had only not gained that 10 pounds, I wouldn't have to look at other women. When she's constantly put down with those kinds of accusations and treatment, emotional abuse and verbal battering, you begin to absorb that like a sponge, and pretty soon you think it is your fault.
And then a lot of the women also have been raised in situations when they were children that they saw this going on. And can we get to the point where we say that they think it's just typical behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you for sure in my own experience what got me into this business, as a matter of fact. I grew up in a domestic violence home. I married a high school sweetheart who turned out not to be so sweet within 3 weeks of the marriage. I married very young, mm-hmm. very young, and I had three children right away. And it just snuck right up on me. I'm I married the example my parents had set for me and didn't, you know, I thought this was a normal relationship. So it was very easy when the verbal abuse began to absorb it and think, okay, that's the woman's role. You know, I grew up in an old country Portuguese home where man was king of castle and woman ran 10 miles in rain for 6-pack of beer.
Well,
that was just...
Well, if we can get more personal then, what did your mother do? Did she ever recognize and get out?
No.
Okay.
No, my mother stayed. My mother stayed, and in staying set a very poor example for the four girl children in the family because we all ended up marrying abusers.
Well, and I'll tell you this, my mother left and was a good example to her six boys who all six never ended up in the situation that my dad was in, you know, or abusing, which I know is really unusual because the sons of abusers tend to be abusers.
Yes.
And we pass it on from one generation to the next. So you are listening to the Buckmaster Show. We are with Patty O'Berry. She's the executive director of Hands of a Friend, and this is not very fun stuff to talk about, quite frankly. We are going to take a quick break. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation, you are more than welcome at 790-2040. We will be back right after these commercials.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, sitting in for Bill. Our guest this first half hour is Patty O'Berry, executive director of Hands of a Friend, and we have been talking about domestic violence. And Patty, this show is far-reaching. So how can people who are not in Green Valley or Sahuadita get involved with this, or those who are down in that area, how can they find out more about what you do?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. First, I'd like to direct anyone in the listening audience, if you are involved in a domestic violence situation and need help, I urge you to please call the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence wherever you are. That number is 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. And if you're in the southern Tucson all the way to Nogales, Arizona area, you can call Hands of a Friend at 520-648-3589. 520-648-3589. How can people get involved? Gosh, Dan, there really is a lot of ways they could get involved. They should locate the domestic violence organization or shelter in their area and ask what their needs are. Sometimes their needs are financial. Well, I can tell you this, having a foundation myself, our needs are always financial. But they can help financially with donations. They can find a way to volunteer. They can donate paper products for the shelter or hygiene products. They can also perpetuate domestic violence awareness among their peers. Keep an open conversation going about it. And large to me is men holding men responsible in their social circle and accountable for when they're with their peer group and they hear them demeaning women or laughing about the abuse of one. I think men need to step up to the plate and hold their buddies accountable.
Okay, very good. If you want to weigh in, you're more than welcome. Call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Patty, I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Sure.
Here. Because of something you mentioned earlier, domestic violence and illegal immigrants, people who are afraid to call the police because maybe they don't trust them. And if you're here illegally, boy, that's just quite another issue.
Well, it is. But in the state of Arizona, we have what's called the Violence Against Women's Act. And if they will report the domestic violence, get a police report on file, there's a process for them to legally immigrate.
Okay, so they don't need to worry then about calling the police.
No, they should not have to worry.
Okay.
And if they feel reluctant to do that, please call me at 520-648-3589 and we'll work it out with you.
And I think people need to know that what you do down there extends far beyond a shelter. It extends far beyond counseling and providing some basic needs for when you're in court a lot. Tell us about it.
This last year, in fact, the last 11 months, we've been in court 196 court or legal cases. We're with a client in court probably four times a week.
Okay, and you're just guiding them through the process. They're a support and pretty much holding people accountable, too.
Yes, and sometimes we intervene with their attorney if their attorney is not really up to speed on domestic violence issues. We will sit in with the attorney and bring them up to speed on domestic violence issues and help walk them through that process.
And how interesting that the whole blow up in the NFL would happen during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, or actually over the last couple of months, really, and people are talking about it more. It's unfortunate that we've had to have some surveillance video capture some pretty awful things before we really got to talking about it again as a nation. But the NFL, have they done enough? They're reaching a lot of men who frankly need to hear the message.
Well, yes, they are, and a lot of women are grateful that they're finally listening. You know, it's been 20 years this June since the O.J. Simpson and Nicole mm-hmm. Brown Simpson murder. But you know, it's not just the NFL, Dan. The media and the hidden cameras exposed the Ray Rice elevator incident and the video of that horrific abuse that he perpetrated on Janae Palmer, who was his then fiance. But since the Nicole Brown Simpson thing, I think another more visual impact on the reality of domestic violence was this film. This mm-hmm. this video was so impacting to see how she was just laid out in the middle of the elevator and treated like laundry, like a bag of trash. I think the NFL has been intolerant, and I think they've put profits first for a good portion of the history of the NFL. Literally every team has arrested players for domestic violence. And the NFL has more prominence than other fields of industry. But the fact is that there's little or no publicity when the abuser's an educator, a doctor, a lawyer, law enforcement, a factory worker, a chef, even if they're unemployed. You know, you don't see anyone caring a whole lot.
Okay, real good. And Ed, do we have Paul on the line? Go ahead and Patty, put your ears on there. We have got a caller. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I just have a problem or a question anyway about a problem that a lot of my Latino workers, I have some construction and some other businesses where I hire a lot of Mexican American workers, and they're having problems, a lot of them, with our culture here. It seems like a lot of the folks down south in southern countries from us still have a culture where the man is in charge of his home, and when they move up to this country, and they either marry American women or their wives change, and they hear women like this that you have on here today talking and sounding so belittling men and being so hateful, and that really confuses these women from other cultures, and they think that just because the guy is upset because he doesn't get supper that night, she doesn't have time for supper, and he says something like, why don't you get supper, then they call 911 and tell the police that they're being abused, and okay. They don't understand.
Okay. No, Paul. I get it, Paul. The question really is, Patty, I guess, at what point is it abuse? And obviously, if a woman calls 911 because her husband or boyfriend says, get me some dinner, that's probably unnecessary. But you brought up earlier that there are some cultural issues, and I think Paul was bringing those up, too. What kind of cultural issues do we see, particularly 50 miles from the border?
Well, there are cultural issues. In fact, part of the area we serve covers the tribal nation as well as the larger Hispanic population to the south of Green Valley, Sahuadita. And we're appreciative of that. And we work within those boundaries. And I hope I didn't mislead you by saying a woman should pick up the phone and call 911 because he said he needed his supper. I was trying to make a parallel of the least amount to the most amount of abuse, and having grown up in a cultural family, you know, where I do appreciate and understand the machismo factor, and I think that might be what Paul is talking about.
Okay, real good. We are running out of time way too quickly, but I do want you to hit real briefly on economic impact. We talked about this earlier, and people who believe that domestic violence does not affect their lives, really it does economically. Can you go over some of the numbers you've got?
Well, the cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year. And $4.1 billion is direct medical and mental health services, with $1.8 billion that's also lost in productivity. And there's approximately 16,800 homicides and 2.2 million of monies on medically treated injuries from intimate partner violence. But the figure that astounds me to this day is that 8 million days of paid work are missed annually in the United States alone due to domestic violence. Wow, Dan, that's the equivalent of 32,000 full-time jobs and almost 5.6 million days of household productivity lost due to violence each year.
It affects all of us, whether we know it or not. That is going to wind it up for us on the first half hour. I want to thank our guest, Patty O'Berry. Patty, how? One more time, give us a number if somebody needs some help, or how can they find out more about your work?
They can call me, Patty O'Berry, at 520. Direct to my desk is 520-647-9906. Our crisis hotline is 520-648-3589. And if you or someone you know is being abused, call the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence at 1-800-799-7233.
Okay, very
Stay
good.
Stay safe.
Very good. We're going to be right back with our Friday roundtable talking about the week's issues with Jim Small, editor of Arizona Capital Times, and Mari Herreras, reporter for the Tucson Weekly. We will be right back.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. It's now time for our Friday roundtable. We are joined on the phone from Phoenix by Jim Small, editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You tired of this election yet?
Oh, well, you know, you always hit a point, I think, right about this time of year. The TV ads are incessant. You can't go anywhere without hearing a radio ad or seeing a sign or a billboard or opening up your mailbox without getting bombarded by campaign materials. But I think any rational voter probably goes, oh, my gosh, is this thing over yet?
I got a letter to the editor today from somebody saying to me, hey, I have voted. Stop calling me.
No. If only there was a way
yes.
for you know the TV when you turn it on to know, hey, this guy already cast his ballot. I don't need to show him any ads for Doug Ducey or Mark Mazzelli or Ann Kirkpatrick anymore.
You know, we actually went out and did one of these on the street type things. You know, it's very unscientific, but we could not find one person who put any type of stock whatsoever in these attack ads on TV. And in fact, they were pretty disgusted by him. And I still have got to wonder, though, they're out there for a reason, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, I mean, I think it's the same as with any advertising. I think if you ask, you know, and there's plenty of surveys and frankly, you know, like academic research into this, that people say, oh, no, ads don't affect me at all. But the reality is, I think they do. And they're maybe subconscious or subliminal effects on people, but they do. And there wouldn't be all this money poured into negative advertising if there wasn't some kind of a return on it. May not be a huge return, but, you know, I think that they're clearly has to be some kind of an effect on the electorate.
Well, without placing blame, or maybe it's just because I paid more attention the last few years, but it seems like with the rise of the Tea Party that the whole tone of campaigns has become much more sharp and negative, and I'm not blaming it on them. I'm just saying that they're much more polarized and polarizing group. Have things gotten worse, and is there any hope?
I think there's no doubt that politics today is more polarized than it was, you know, a generation ago. But so some of that has to do with the actual politics, but I think a lot of that has to do with the way the technology and the landscape of how people get their information has changed. You know, it used to be that if you wanted to get information, you had no choice but to go to only a handful of outlets, whether they were your, you know, a local newspaper or your local TV station or, you know, the broadcast network news, and you know, maybe you had CNN to go to. But anymore, with the rise of the internet, it really, as much as the internet brings people together, it also allows people to segregate themselves in any way that they see fit. And more often than not, you see a lot of people who segregate themselves by their beliefs, and they only associate, only belong to communities, only get their news from places that, you know, essentially reinforce the views they already have. And so you really kind of engender this sort of this worldview where I'm right and everyone else is wrong. And I think that translates into politics directly. And I think you see a lot of that kind of an attitude now. People have the opportunity to kind of cloister themselves away from folks who may have a different view. And so you don't have maybe those productive debates or those discussions or even that realization that, oh, well, this is how the other side views it. That's an interesting point of view.
Well, that's a real good point, because with the rise of the Internet, I guess we have the struggling newspaper industry, which is supposed to be the objective voice here. And so you have one rising, one diminishing in influence at the very least, and therefore you do not have information out there that people feel they can trust and then stir some sort of an intelligent community conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, at the same time, I mean, if you're, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal or you're a Tea Party activist, I mean, you can go gather your news from places that are going to tell you things that you already maybe inherently believe or
sure.
Your positions that you understand. You know, I mean, you can go get all of your news from MSNBC and from the Daily Coast, or you could go get it all from, you know, Drudge Report and Fox News and some of the other, you know, Breitbart and stuff like that, and you can kind of put yourself, you know, in a position where the only thing that you consume, the only way you consume news and gather information is from people who have an agenda or who are starting with the same worldview that you do, and in that respect, you know, I think it hurts public discourse, and it is, you know, damaging, I think, at the end of the day to the ability of our elected officials to govern, because the electorate that they're now trying to convince and they're trying to represent has such fractured views that there almost isn't any room for middle ground and for gray area.
And I think people have to understand that some of these blog sites or news sources that are slanted are really no better than these attack ads, because a lot of the information they're putting out is just flat out wrong, or it's at the very least deceptive. And people need
without a doubt, or
sure.
You know, and one of the things that, you know, that the internet has given political operatives the ability to do is instead of having to go to, you know, if they want to get a story out there, instead of having to go to you guys or us or the Arizona Republic or the Daily Star with a story and pitch it to a reporter, get a reporter to think that it's an interesting story, who then has to go and sell it to his editor, who then, you know, and then go through the normal journalistic rigors to get a story done. They can just instead turn and feed that to a sympathetic blogger, or, you know, a sympathetic someone who has a website who they can, who will kind of just take their story lock, stock, and barrel and run it, and then you can turn around and use that in a campaign ad. And then we've seen that a number of times so far this election cycle.
Okay, very good. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. If you want to join the conversation, you can call the Buckmaster Live line at 790-2040. And, in fact, Matthew wants to join the conversation. Matthew, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Jim. I'm a huge advocate for the Capital Times because they do such great critical things.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm curious, how come... You know, I tell people, hey, when you see these ads, it's about money being spent in our community. But my concern is, why can't the newspaper industry, which is struggling, and the Capital Times, like your publication, somehow benefit from this type of advertising? They always provide the critical information, but they don't seem to get any of the money from... I know it seems like it's a conflict of interest, but that's what advertising is. It's about selling something. And do you get what I'm saying? Why is it always radio and TV get all the money?
Great question.
Thank you. The vast majority of it goes to TV, and the simple reason is because it's the biggest megaphone, and it, the goal of campaigns, whether it's, you know, a candidate's campaign or a national group that's coming in and trying to get someone elected, is to reach as many people as possible. And the simple reality is that TV reaches far more people than newspapers do, and the newspaper websites do. It's the way we consume news, and you know that transition started 40, 50 years ago when TV started to appear in every home, and you know, I think certainly newspapers do do capture some, that do see some uptick in advertising revenue when it's campaign season. You know, but certainly not as much as TV stations do, and that's just it's the unfortunate reality, I guess, for those of us who live in the print world. But yeah, I know it's obviously a boon to a lot of the TV stations, many of which are struggling just as much as, frankly, as newspapers are.
Yeah, but Jim, you can also, through TV, inject a lot of emotion, you know, through music or through visuals that are, you know, darkened or whatever, or by telling people that Ron Barber is Nancy Pelosi's lapdog and having a little dog doing circles on the screen. So it really reaches people in a way that really print can't. And print really tends to be a little bit more intelligent because it's putting information out there and then letting people have a chance to sift through it. They're not taking it in so quickly like they have to on TV.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
So let's talk about the amount of money being poured into some of these races in Arizona. Is it too much to use the word unprecedented? I mean, it's just a huge amount of money, especially since the primary.
It is an awful lot of money. Unprecedented. I don't know if we've done an analysis total on it. I mean, I think it probably will prove out to be, I think, unprecedented in terms of outside money. I think, especially when you look at all the statewide races in addition to the congressional races. I mean, every year there's competitive seats, and there's always you get the national Republicans, the national Democrats come in with their money to support their congressional candidates. But with this year's governor's race, I mean, there's been millions of dollars that have been spent trying to largely get Doug Ducey elected or defeat him in the primary, and then to defeat Fred DeVal in this general election. And in addition, you know, the race I think that most people didn't see being one that would attract a lot of money, but that has, is the Corporation Commission race.
Right.
You know, there was obviously a lot of talk about the money being spent in the primary election there to back Republicans Tom Farese and Doug Little. And in the general election, you know, wouldn't you know it, those same forces are back, and they're spending, I think they've already spent about $1.5 million on TV ads to defeat one of the Democratic candidates, Sandra Kennedy.
Have you seen any reliable polling on some of the major races?
You know, the governor's race is the one I think we've seen the most polling on. I think the general consensus is that Doug Ducey is leading, and that it's going to be very difficult for Fred DeVal to come back and win that race. Some of the polls have shown Ducey up by, you know, 8, 9, 10 points. I think only one of those, maybe three of those polls that came out, I think only one of them was really a poll that seemed pretty credible. On the flip side, there was also a very credible poll that came out that showed Fred DeVal winning by 2 or 3 points. It's tough to really know. I think you'd be hard pressed to find many people who would think that Fred DeVal is actually winning the race. Other statewide races are a little bit tougher to figure out what's going on. I think most people see it's going to be expect Terry Goddard to win for Secretary of State. Although I don't think that that Michelle Reagan's chances are zilch right now, but I think she's definitely got a tough road to hoe right now. Attorney General seems to be more or less a toss-up, although I think things seem to be, a lot of people seem to be leaning towards Mark Brnovich right now. The Superintendent of Public Instruction also seems to be, I think, a toss-up, but with the edge probably to David Garcia, the Democrat, in knocking off the anti-Common Core crusader in Diane Douglas. And as for Corporation Commission, that is an incredibly difficult race to get any kind of good polling data on, if only because it's so far down the ticket, and most people, I think, would be hard pressed to tell you A, who's running, or B, what that position even is.
Anything out of CD2 down here, Barber versus McSally, that you're hearing?
You know, I haven't seen anything recently. A couple weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, there were some rumblings coming out of Washington D.C. actually that both parties had done some polling that showed Ron Barber in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen any of that manifest itself yet in terms of public polling, we were unable to get copies of any of that polling. But we heard from several people who do know what's going on and don't have a stake in that race, who had seen some of that polling and said that it looked like Barber was certainly in a good position, although by no means did he have it sewn up.
Okay, real good. And real briefly, because the news of the day is that same-sex marriage is now legal in Arizona. And I know the governor has come out and said that this is not an issue that should have been decided by federal courts, but rather state lawmakers should have done it. But I can't help but think that there are some state lawmakers who are probably pretty glad today that they don't really have to wade into this. Would you agree with that?
I think there definitely are. And you know, I understand the governor's disappointment with the ruling. I mean, she's obviously been a supporter of traditional marriage, but you know, at the end of the day, her statement, you know, kind of neglected the that whole checks and balances thing we learned about in civics and government class and back in junior high and high school. And I mean, that really is the purpose of the court, was to step in and say, no, what Arizona did, these laws that were enacted by the people, you know, infringe on the constitutional rights of American citizens, and therefore they can't be enforced.
Okay, very good. And we're going to very briefly go to the phones because we've got Jim Nintzel on. And Jim, you're going to teach us more about politics here through a new medium here. What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. I'm really enjoying the conversation with you guys today. So I wanted to call in and just let folks know that we've got a brand new TV show debuting this Sunday on Channel 9, Zona Politics with Jim Nintzel. And we've got Jonathan Payton, a former state lawmaker, and Don Jorgensen from the Pima County Democratic Party. And we're going to run through the races that you guys are talking about here in a little more depth on our TV show. Okay. So if folks missed the old AZ Illustrated Politics on Friday night, they can tune in on Sunday morning, 9:30, Channel 9.
9:30, Channel 9. Thank you, Jim. I'm sure it's going to be terrific. I want to thank Jim Small of Arizona Capital Times for being our guest on the Friday roundtable. Jim, we're heading toward November 4th, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Yep, full steam ahead. We only got a few more weeks.
Okay, thank you for joining us. I hope you both have a great weekend. We have Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell. He's always got some great ideas on how to while away the weekend. We will be right back.
Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Plutus Motor Group, we make the difference. View our collection of fine European imports and take the road less traveled. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance. When it comes to parties and events, I always use Arizona Party Rental, where quality and customer service are their priority as well.
This is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shoot. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Hi, this is Andy Brown. I've been in a special event business over 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
This is Bob Schaff. For your next party or event, don't think about calling anyone but Arizona Party Rental. Their selection is amazing, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hemingway said, "It's good to have an end to journey toward, but it is the journey that matters in the end." Start your journey with Plutus Motor Group. You'll remember how you got there. Plutus Motor Group. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is now time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, and of course, award-winning publicist. Matt, do you pay us extra to say award-winning publicist?
That's why you make the big bucks, man.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you what he pays me someday. So, hey, it's going to be a great weekend. It's starting to cool off. It's just beautiful out there, and you're going to tell us how we can spend it.
Absolutely, Dan. You know, we always love reporting on new restaurant openings here on Weekend Watch, and the opening of the second Tucson location of Poco and Mom's is generating so much buzz that it's our official happy hour pick of the week. Now, it's located near the corner of Tancaverde and Sabino Canyon Roads. Poco and Mom's, they specialize in the cuisine of New Mexico, so imagine lots of fresh hatched chilies populating nearly every corner of the menu. And the cantina serves up some great drink specials for happy hour, which is today from 4 to 6, including dollar-off house margaritas and other deals that you got to swing by to try. I say get your weekend going today at Poco and Mom's on Tancaverde and Sabino Canyon Road.
Okay, Poco and Mom's. And by the way, how come happy hour is not an hour?
These are the inquiring minds want to know. I think it should be 23 hours long.
Don't complain.
Yeah. That's Ed Alexander throwing in here. He's throwing his two cents in. Okay, head on. We have a world championship happening here.
Yeah, continuing our margarita theme, nearly 15 mixologists from across southern Arizona, they're going to be gearing up for the World Margarita Championship, which is tomorrow night at 6. At Plaza Colonial over there on Skyline and Campbell. Now, if you don't think that much more can be done with a margarita beyond tequila and lime juice, you must check out this event because we'll be seeing a range of ingredients that you never imagined in a margarita glass. A People's Choice Award is going to be conferred, as is a Judge's Choice Award. And I'm a judge this year, so suffice it to say that my palate is doing push-ups in preparation for the World Margarita Championship tomorrow.
Stunning that we could land that championship here in Tucson. It's awesome.
Indeed.
It's just awesome. Okay, what else we got? We got festival.
Fans of the blues like I am, they're going to be flocking to Rialto Racetrack on Sunday morning at about 11:30. For the annual Southern Arizona Blues Heritage Festival. So this is live performances by local and national blues artists, smoked barbecue and other delicious dishes, and a spectrum of suds for fans of craft beer makes this one of my favorite events of the year. It runs all day long on Sunday, so I say channel your inner Muddy Waters and head out to the Blues Fest on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, out at the Rialto Racetrack. And tell us a little bit about what's coming up in your column and Inside Tucson Business.
Yeah, Dan, you know, pumpkins seem to be making their way onto every menu across town these days, but my official pumpkin picks of the season are not what you'd typically expect. And you can read all about that in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Okay, I'm going to do a brief recap here. Poco and Mom's. Give us that address again.
Yeah, that's actually on Tancoverde Road, just a little bit west of Savino Canyon Road on the south side of the street.
Okay, very good. We got the World Margarita Championships, and then out at Ryudo Racetrack, we've got Southern Arizona Blues Heritage Festival. Who says there's nothing to do in Tucson?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this the weekend watch needs to be an hour segment in itself with so much going on. But as you said, I will be eating and drinking my way through a spectacular weekend. And I would say, Dan,
that
my weekend starts right about now.
I figured it would. Thank you, Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business and, of course, award-winning publicist.
Cheers to you, sir.
Thanks. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for year-round residential and commercial water needs. I also want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Ed Alexander in the control room and Bill Buckmaster, who's probably on a beach somewhere, I'm Dan Shear from the Green Valley News, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Bill will be back in the office on Monday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.